Hello, welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Man City squander a two-goal aggregate lead as Real Madrid score three goals between the 90th and the 95th minute to advance to the Champions League final in shocking fashion. Liverpool overcome a first-half scare against Villarreal with three second-half goals in Spain to book their tickets to Paris. How these results affect the upcoming Premier League matches for Liverpool and City, and we welcome Bournemouth back to the Premier League. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
And as ever, mate, before we get to that dramatic football action, make sure NBC Sports Predictor is part of your match week routine. Play Premier League Pick'em for free for your chance at $50,000 jackpot. And we actually got a winner this week, Mr. Musto. Somebody got a 3-0 win for Manchester United against Brentford and picked up $50,000. All you got to do is predict the outcomes of Premier League matches correctly and the jackpot is yours. Score big when you download the NBC Sports Predictor app today. And we are going to get to today, my friend, because we have had another feast of Champions League football over 2 days. Today, in the most dramatic of circumstances, Manchester City again have tumbled out of the Champions League when they looked to be in control with minutes on the clock. Where do we start with Manchester City? Where do we start with Pep Guardiola? Where do we start with the game?
Well, let's start at the beginning and the scenes as the Real Madrid players, Rob, came in on the bus to the Bernabeu. And my goodness, did you see the images outside of the amount of fans there? I mean, like, it was always going to be a big atmosphere. It certainly was in the stadium. And to be fair, I mean, we can get into all the details of it, but the first, I mean, it wasn't a great game, was it? Given what we saw in the first game, 4-3 to Manchester City, goals everywhere, chances everywhere, Benzema was amazing. You know, the start of this game, I guess, understandably, Rob was a little cautious. It's the one goal advantage for City means that they don't really have to go for it. They don't have to get into their kind of super football attacking mode. And Real Madrid were also a bit clunky with possession of the ball. So just initially, Rob, you know, in terms of what you saw from them and also the team selections, let me just hit a couple of things, particularly Man City, that I don't know. I mean, from nowhere, Gabriel Jesus is now, I mean, flavour of the month and playing as a number nine where we hadn't seen him play there very often. Pep does go with players that are in current form, no matter what has worked before in terms of Foden playing a false nine. They did switch over Foden and Jesus a little later. But that was still something a little surprising. Walker was back. Cancelo was back, Rob. So the better defenders were playing in the game. I mean, we saw a tremendous kind of, I mean, just a one-on-one with Vinicius Jr. and Kyle Walker on that far side, particularly in the first half. So many times, you know, Walker got back. Vinicius is so quick. So, you know, in that phase of the game, really, it was kind of a little bit cautious, wasn't it, cagey?
Yeah, I thought there was caution on both sides. I think both respectful of the attacking prowess and the ability of people on the pitch. Walker certainly makes City more defensive and obviously can handle the pace that Vinicius can offer. From City's point of view, at times, I thought the wide players came quite deep and sat in, and Kevin De Bruyne was the one who linked a little bit more with the guys. So it's almost like a 4-4-1-1, which is also a bit more respectful to maybe what Real Madrid could do. Yeah, there wasn't a lot in the game. Wasn't a brilliant game of football at that stage. And as I'm watching it, one of my notes is I've got probably a million notes now written down here, and I can't tell one from the other.
Too many.
The first one I remember was saying, bit of a test for City out of possession today. Like when Madrid had the ball, how good are they going to be? Because it wasn't a sparkling football day. So a little bit more of a test of like, okay, what's your structure like? What's your shape like? And in many respects, Rob, it wasn't too bad. A couple of chances, Benzema missed a couple of chances. Vinicius had the one early. They didn't have a shot on target in the first 45 minutes. And you're kind of thinking, well, yeah, this will do. They've not turned it wasn't a Villarreal situation where they've flown at it, they've got the goals, the place is jumping. To a certain degree, you know, City and 0-0, I thought was a good place for City to be at half time.
Yeah, they were absolutely fine. Vinicius Junior, Rob, right at the start of the second half, This is a sitter, by the way, and the warning signs are there a little bit. The Real Madrid are going to continue. They're not going to go away. We know that with the games against Chelsea and PSG in previous rounds. And then there was a few moments where things changed. Kyle Walker, Rob, went out of the game, didn't he? Struggling. I think it was the 63rd minute he went down. I'm thinking he's going to come off. He didn't. He carries on and then goes off in the 73rd minute. But just after that, Riyad Mahrez scores a goal, Rob. Now, that gives them, obviously, 1-0 up in this tie, a two-goal advantage in the tie, aggregate score.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, everybody, commentators, everybody, you're starting to write your notes, you're starting to think about tweets and all that kind of stuff, thinking that City looked to the better side, possessed the ball well, started to control the game in the second half. Real Madrid kind of looked, I won't say out, but they looked tired. And City's football started to, you're like, well, here's the control. Yeah. They've got the goal. They should be plain sailing from there. But obviously, there was a big moment, my friend. Rodrigo, the substitute, the young Brazilian kid, 21 years of age, comes into the game. And in the 90th minute, the fireworks begin. I'll let you take over.
Well, can we just go back a little bit before that? And I'm not going to do this thing, but again, I had a little bit of a look on the radio. I've had a little look on social media, City fans. So Walker comes off, Zinchenko comes on, I think, which we would kind of expect. Yep.
Cancelo goes to right back. Cancelo.
Gundogan comes on for Kevin De Bruyne. Little bit. Now, Gundogan was involved in the Mahrez goal, made a nice move, switched the play. They got it out to Walker scores. Few Man City fans questioning, and I'm not big on this, like, after the event, easy. But some were saying maybe KDB wasn't having the greatest game, but, you know, with that amount of time on the clock, was it a time to take him off? Listen, always, you know, what do they call it? Monday quarterbacking
morning quarterback. Yeah.
There was a few questions about that. Mahrez came off for Fernandinho. People saying, well, you know, what is that? Is that because there's a two-goal lead, you're holding on to it, but you're taking off probably 2 or 3 years. And again, just before Rodrigo gets the goal, Jack Grealish, Rob, who came on, has a couple of chances for Jesus to possibly seal the day. One was a great block from Mendy. One he should have done better. I kind of think, you know, those were the Jack moments that gets him, that takes him to another level, that gets him into this City team, that stops people saying, well, is he really a player? Does he really fit? If he has one of those moments, a bit like Kai Havertz had at Chelsea, a lot of the noise goes away, Rob. Just felt there was a couple of those instances that I thought Jack could have done better.
I don't disagree, Rob. And I think what we're going to get onto here is, I mean, it was a tremendous block, was it, from Mendy off the line
Mendy
to Jack Grealish.
Well. Totally well.
Yeah. And also, of course, Real Madrid made substitutions. Mm. You know, Pep afterwards talked about it, Rob. They had five strikers in the last kind of 5-10 minutes of regular time to try and get the equalising goal and to send it to extra time. But for a two goal lead going into the 90th minute, and then to give it away and concede those three goals. In 5 minutes, my thoughts after the game, Rob, are. And we hear a lot of reaction. I see social media. I see TV commentary talking about, how did that happen? That's crazy. Of course, a ton of credit goes to Real Madrid, Rob. A ton of credit goes to them for keep going. Benzema the assist. Rodrigo flicks the ball in. Then there's a little glancing header onto Rodrigo for the second goal.
Yeah.
So there's a ton, and absolutely right. I mean, that atmosphere in the Bernabeu, I mean, is incredible. But a lot of people saying, God, I can't believe that. What a crazy, which is a crazy game. But Man City were the better team by far over two legs. And I'm like, no, they weren't. No, they weren't. They conceded 6 goals, Robbie. They conceded 3 goals. 3 goals in 5 minutes. They were going to go through in the 90th minute. They conceded 2 goals to send it to extra time. That's not a well-rounded team that deserves to be said the best team didn't go through. Best teams, great teams, better teams find a way. They clear it off the line. They get people back. They head the first ball out. They don't dive in on the penalty. You know, they didn't go through because they conceded six goals. They conceded six goals in a game that was, and we know that the way that Pep plays, and we'll get into that in a little while, but their philosophy, the lineup and stuff, it gives opponents an opportunity to do things. And Real Madrid are a class side. They got great attacking players, Rob, and they made them pay. They had to wait late. And people say to me, well, you know, Real Madrid never had a shot on target for 85 minutes. Well, the game doesn't last for 85 minutes. That's the point. It's like in golf, Rob, and I'll let you get in a second, mate. It's like when you're two up, right? You're two holes up with three holes to play. I've said this before. The hardest thing in golf is to close out the match because the other opponent's going to go flat out. You change your game a little bit, and it's the hardest thing is to close. This was the same today for Man City. The hardest thing is to close a game out like this away in the Bernabeu against a team like Real Madrid that have won it 13 times before, and they couldn't get it done.
I hear you, and I can't disagree with anything you're saying. I think I'm going to pick the point that you've just made. And it's a point that kind of has hit me over the two nights, really. And I know we're going to talk about Liverpool and Villarreal and what that was and how that game started. But both these football clubs are led by two managers who have a very ingrained style of play, a very ingrained strategy of what they're going to do, of how they're going to win football matches, both very different. But Pep Guardiola is going to do it that way, Rob. He's going to do it winning football. When we had a preview of this game, I think we both talked about the difficulty. It's not going to be easy. I think you were a little bit stronger saying you feel City football will find the way because they'll be better players. The football wasn't sparkling tonight. And it didn't find a way to give them a big enough lead that if Madrid was coming back, they didn't get a second goal tonight that would have made the difference, and whether that's good defending, by finishing, whatever you say. But Pep Guardiola, Rob, is going to win Champions League or lose Champions League with Man City doing it his way. Our producer put a note on our WhatsApp note and so it said, why didn't somebody just man-mark Benzema? And I think we were on the thing and you sort of said, not Pep's way. They kick the balance, they'll play right and left, that's what he does. And almost that in itself is a great microcosm of Pep. Pep isn't going to do it other ways, Rob. Other coaches across Europe, whether it's in the Premier League or whatever, will change things, will do things. Pep Guardiola's got a strategy that served him well, that's won him enough trophies, and today he will say, we weren't quite good enough with the ball. We didn't take our chances. He won't talk about the defending. He'll say, listen, they put people in the box, they didn't defend it well. But that won't be the first thing I think Pep goes to. Pep's biggest thing will be, we didn't play. I heard it. And he did an interview that came on UK TV, and he said where we didn't play well enough. First off, we weren't at our game. Second off, a bit better, got the goal. But it's all about what they did with the ball, Rob, not what they didn't do without it.
Isn't it time, Rob, that we have a little chat about that, about Pep? 11 years ago with Barcelona, with an amazing team of Xavi and Iniesta and, of course, Lionel Messi. This has happened a lot. In big moments, the biggest moments for Pep, and this is going back to, you know, Bayern Munich as well. He had an all-conquering, powerful team at Bayern. He's had the same at Man City. In the biggest moments in this competition, he can't get them over the line. I've got a theory, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, but I want to ask you first, and basically, of course, a difficult question, why? Why is this competition at the end, the final last year, the semi-final now and in previous seasons, what is it you think about this team? It's had tons of money spent, this brilliant manager in Pep that domestically like is super dominant. Why can't he get it done in this competition?
Well, the simple fact is, Rob, and it's going back to my same question. I don't want to steal your thunder because I know your views on this and don't want to preempt it. But his style, his way of playing with the groups of players he's got, is dominant in domestic football. Was it 3 out of 4 titles? Will get you to a certain level, quarterfinal, semi-final of the Champions League. But on the big day against an informed Bayern, an informed Real Madrid, an informed maybe PSG or Liverpool or one of those top things with top attacking talents, you can get to Pep's teams.
Mm.
And that, yeah, that getting to Pep's teams. I remember when he first came into our league, Rob, and we'll go back to it, and he talked about that first year and whatever. And his big thing was he doesn't practice tackling and defending, because if you have the ball, you don't have to do it. That was his big line, Rob. And I always remember, and I thought, wow, this guy, that's it. That's him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, in domestic competition, has been all-powerful, all-successful. His teams that he's had in these clubs are being so powerful that philosophy, the way that he sets his team up, the team balance, Rob, there's not another team on the planet, or for as long as I can remember, that tilts his team selection and the balance between artists and soldiers like Pep. There's no team like it. Attacking players in De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva, they're always getting forward in midfield. That balance, and it's been brilliant to watch. Mm. And in domestic football, that has been super sufficient to win leagues. Teams get pulverized by the possession, by the football, by the press. They go, the teams can't get out. And in over 38 games in the Premier League, that has been super successful. Of course, against the best sides in England, sometimes there's been some great games. But generally, domestically, Rob, his philosophy and balance is safe. Now, I would argue that at the top end of this competition, where you've got the best teams on the planet, and certainly around Europe, of course, they're better than that. And they can get out of that grip, and they can keep the ball, and they can have a game with Man City. And when it happened today, Rob, in regular time, I know there's not a ton of opportunities and ton of chances. The game looks different. Man City have the ball, go up the other end. Real Madrid, ping, ping, ping. Oh, they have the ball, go up the other end. The Pep's securest play is when they're in the opponent's half, they press them in, there's no way for them to get out. And they face that 90% of the time in the Premier League, where they defend with the ball because there's not much of a threat. But at this competition, the better teams, the better attackers, they use that philosophy, that team balance is a little light in midfield in protection, that they give you a chance. And what I'm saying is, I'm trying to summarise it, in domestic football, teams aren't good enough with that chance to hurt City and ask them questions. It's probably a better way of doing it. Against Real Madrid and the best teams in Europe, they get asked a lot more questions and they look more vulnerable, and they conceded 6 goals in 2 days against a Real Madrid team that's obviously super spirited, durable, experienced. But, you know, it's still somewhat surprising that they've beat Man City over 2 legs. And I'm just trying to throw a theory out there that, you know, it's the way he does it, Rob. And I don't think it's going to change. You know what? Should he tweak it a little bit? And I said, well, he does it the way he does it.
It's a bit Bielsa-like, isn't it? What he does at Leeds. And that's the guy. That's his philosophy. That's what he's bought on. That's what he trains on. That's what he works on. And when it works,
A little bit of vulnerability.
Well, okay. And before we move on, we will talk a little Real Madrid and Carlo Ancelotti, by the way. On the other hand, he's won a title in that. But let me throw another angle at you, Mr. Musto. We'll get your take on this. Pep, okay, quite rightly, the big questions, the critics will be out now, can't win the big trophy, blah, blah, blah. I get it, I see it, he's ultimately in charge. Let me turn the spotlight on some of these players, Rob. Let me turn the spotlight right there. How many times have City got knocked out of these competitions when they were bang on it, when they were brilliant and played that football that we saw in the first half at City last week? When have we seen City get beat then? We haven't. Sometimes on those very, very big days, some of the City players don't quite turn up, as we've known. Champions League final against Chelsea last time out, weren't great, Rob. Today, first half, weren't great. Second half, got into the game, got the goal. Some big-time players who get to a certain level, Rob, don't quite do it. And I think, the manager should get credit, but let's look at the group of players. Is this group, if this was Spurs, we're going, that Spurs just can't get over the line. Well, as great as these are in domestic football, Rob,
Well, it's an interesting point, Rob. It's a very interesting point because, again, it goes into that philosophy thing. Mm. If Phil Foden, I'm going to say the ones that you're thinking of maybe.
Yeah.
Phil Foden thought was quiet today. Yeah. Kevin De Bruyne didn't have his best game.
Yeah.
Riyad Mahrez scored a great goal, but took him time to find his game.
Yeah.
Gabriel Jesus. So back to the philosophy. If Correct. Their football and their expansive self isn't at their normal level in these high games, then, the other team have the ball and they Correct. Break on them. And they find their little patterns. It's more of an open, even game against the greatest teams. Instead of, if these guys, Mahrez and Foden, don't have a great game against the Premier League side, well, they're probably going to give them the ball back. They're going to give them the ball back each time. And City will go again until they find their rhythm. So you make a good point. And, Pep said a few years ago, Rob, this team needs experience in this competition. It's going to take a while. They've got to get there and kind of fail, learn, get there again, fail, learn. Get there again, and they've got there again this time, and still they can't get by difficult moments. And it's just, it just begs the question, and I don't expect anybody, Pep to change his philosophy, but doesn't it beg the question, Rob, of the successful teams in this competition? You've got to have both sides of this. You've got to have both sides. You've got to have a spirit and a defensive desire. Of course, with the attacking talent, and you say about certain players didn't turn up. I mean, the spirit of Real Madrid is there enough characters, winners that might pull it out of the other players to come back and up defensively and throw your body on the line and head the balls away when Rodrigo goes in and challenges? Is it lacking in that a little bit? Rodri played well, I thought. I thought Bernardo Silva was good. What a good player he is.
Yeah, he played
but
well.
But that philosophy doesn't account for an off day, against these better teams.
No, I've called it football. It's like regal football. It's like football at this higher level. But every now and then, even that needs a little bit of dirt and grit and putting your foot in and being defensive and stopping it going. And listen, maybe, that's something they've got to look at. Maybe that's something they've got to work out. But again, let's just turn it to Real Madrid, Rob, because how this team are in the final, by the way. I mean, as I was writing my football notes, in the end, it was like, I'm going to stop this. And I looked on and I went under Google and I went, how do you kill a vampire? Because it's like... They've been gone, haven't they? They're like dead. And apparently you've got to drive some stake in the heart and cut the head off. Because, you turn around, they're gone, they're done, they're finished. And then you look around and the hand comes up and they start going again. And to my point, and this actually just gave me another point, Rob, part of why I think City over the two games, and regardless of the score, City should have won the game bigger at the Etihad last week. When they played brilliantly and allowed Madrid to get back.
4-3. It was 4-3, Rob.
It wasn't a 4-3 game. It wasn't a 4-3 performance. It was a 4-1 performance, really. 4-2 at max. And they allowed that third goal and it gave Madrid hope. And we've seen what they've done and we've done the spirit. And I want to give some credit to Carlo Ancelotti because he is the coolest guy in town. And I want to get your take on something. I mean, he brings on Rodrigo for Cruz. Camavinga comes on, I think Casemiro in midfield. Both players who start to influence the game. He makes subs that winning game, change the way they play. I thought there was a good European know-how on the pitch, even though there were people going down, people getting across.
Cruz, Casemiro, Modric.
All that stuff was good. And here's one I want to throw at you. When we talk about the pantheon of European coaches and we talk about these great football minds, Carlo Ancelotti never comes in that conversation. Never, Rob. Why is that? Why is it? What he's won, where he's been, his body of work, why does he not talk the right language? Is he not that, guy who, is he not as media friendly? Anyone who plays for him apparently loves him to death and the Chelsea players and all that. But just something, I don't know, seemed to hold him back by being in those conversations.
Well, the stuff I read about him, Rob, and I read a lot of long articles about Ancelotti. Well, the ones that are a bit detracting of him. And it's like, there'd be stuff out there I've read that he does nothing tactically.
Doesn't do much.
He's not a tactical coach. He's a man manager. And he's that guy that knows how to push buttons and knows how to get the best out of his players. And maybe, you know, I mean, he's won it in every league now. Is he the only coach?
Won it in all the five top leagues or something.
Yeah, he's obviously proven himself. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that he was managing Everton a year ago.
But
the success is now. I mean, it takes him to another final. He's the other end of the scale to a Pep, who's super intensive, that's very, very blueprint-based football, very, very grooved philosophy. He's a lot looser, Rob. And it just shows you that it takes all types of coaches can be set in their different ways. We're going to talk about Jurgen Klopp, who I'd say is kind of a mix of these two.
I would argue this point. Only that I had a manager, a woman for many years, Joe Kinnear, who was probably very Ancelotti-like, not sitting here saying, I'm not talking about you, but a man manager. And I would say, Rob, I'd rather play for a man manager than a great tactician. Because a man manager can make you feel $1 million. Even on your bad days, he can make you feel $1 million, mate. Like you're running through a brick wall for him.
I know, and you know what? This is so typical of us and how we're different. I'd love to agree with you, but I would. It's just the way we're different, right? I enjoy the football that I played most under the coaches that were super tactical. That everybody had a little plan and they knew what they were doing. Mm. I enjoyed that we all were grooved. And I mean, by the way, it didn't happen many times. Didn't get many of those coaches, but we had a guy, Terry Venables, that was an England manager that came and helped at Middlesbrough. And, you know, his football, and I loved being part of a team that was totally grooved tactically for a 6-month period that got us out of the relegation problems. But again, that's it. Like,
there's no right or wrong, is it?
In different ways. There's no right or wrong way. So, but no, you're right to give him a mention. What he did in this game, I mean, to keep the team in the game, to make those substitutions, this kid comes on, scores a couple of goals. The fans were wanting him on early before that, weren't they?
I think they
want him to start the game. Valverde played it in that right side of forward line, Benzema in the middle and Vinicius Junior to the left-hand side as Casemiro came in, of course, who's changing midfield a little bit. I thought Casemiro was good, Rob. He got away with some yellow cards. He's right on the edge,
and he knows what he's doing, right on the edge. He reads the ref, knows the referee's letting a few things go. Just plays on the air. I just thought there was a bit of know-how there for Madrid tonight as well. I'll tell you one thing I really liked, and I know it happened to a City, and it's, again, another easy thing to look at, but the celebrations with Ancelotti when the goals go in, players run to him, subs are on him, that tells you a lot, mate. It tells you an awful lot about what's happening in that locker room and how the feeling is. And listen, they knew they were still in the game, mate. They knew they were still in it with one goal down. And 92-95, three goals against a City team of that quality.
Incredible. Rob, this is going to hurt Man City. It's going to hurt the manager. It's going to hurt the club going forward.
Because they're going to be seen as like this big club that can't win this trophy, are they? How can you be this global giant and you've not won a Champions League title?
Well, Kevin De Bruyne. He said, didn't he, Rob, that the narrative has got to change. And this is the one thing that we need to change the narrative about this football club. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for them, they've just come short again. It is remarkable. It is a game that we love. It's great to hear Peter Drury's commentary. Yeah. I mean, he's such a great commentator. And he's born for moments like today when there's so much craziness going on. And it was just one of those games. Like, I'm making notes. I'm getting ready. And then what is happening? How do they recover, Rob, in terms of, I don't know, in terms of getting back on track?
The recovery is a Premier League title, mate. Anything short of that, and then we're starting to go, oops, what's going on here? The Premier League title is still, the domestic title still, the 38 games, toughest league in the world. The Premier League title helps, doesn't aid it, doesn't make it all better. But it helps, Rob, and that's they're the standard bearers of the league, and that's okay. And then the other questions, the other criticisms, can Pep do it? Can this team do it? Will continue until they eventually land it.
So Kyle Walker, Rob, came off the game injured, right? And you know, some might argue that wow, he that was a defining moment in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, and he played it great, yeah. And then he couldn't continue the whole game. Mm. Now, I'm not sure how long he's going to be out for.
I'd be surprised if we've seen
this. Is there a hangover? Is there a hangover, Rob, after that? They put so much into the extra time. They've got Newcastle, haven't they? They've got Newcastle at home at the weekend.
Well, this is almost a test of the management now, isn't it? I mean, we all know what's great about him. We all see his teams. But now, the little test, Rob. You play Newcastle at home. Newcastle will come free, will come thing. The pressure's on. If Liverpool win, they played the day before Liverpool win. They put a little bit of pressure on. Even the draw suddenly looks different. I mean, the narrative that Kevin De Bruyne is talking about is that I think most people still feel both these teams could win out and City will win it by a point. The narrative pretty much changes. If they lose in the Champions, go out of the Champions League midweek and drop points at the weekend, whole different look on the football club.
You know, Rob, before we move on, Liverpool, I just can't. I'm shaking my head. I'm looking at the scoring in that. City were 5-3 up. 5-3 up going into the 90th minute on aggregate. Yeah. And they're out of this competition. Remarkable ending to the game.
You're one foot over the channel. You're in there. And for some reason. I mean, it's an incredible game. This competition's incredible. I mean, my first note I wrote down was bloody football. I mean, how can you? Manchester City, 1 minute away from the Champions League final. Done.
Bye-bye.
Let's move it on to the team that they will play in the Champions League final, because this wasn't any less dramatic. Villarreal, Liverpool. I think I said on the podcast, I don't want one of those pat on my backs, but this won't be easy. I've been to that stadium a few times, mate. I've seen Arsenal go there one day and have a real tear up with a Villarreal team that get a goal and that place goes crazy and everybody's behind the team. And what was it, 4 minutes? Diaz scores for Villarreal.
Third minute.
And, we had a game on, my friend. We had a game. Well, we had an unrecognisable Liverpool, by the way.
I know.
Unrecognisable.
Well, but also Villarreal. How different were they from the front foot, from the very first whistle? They hustled and harried. Yeah. Plus, they move the ball better than I could ever expect. First half, I'm thinking at right side of midfield, Naby Keita. Now, he gave the ball away a few times, but it wasn't that.
It was
the spaces that were allowed in that area. The ball kept switching out to his side. God, that was a big call from Klopp to play Naby Keita and not Jordan Henderson. Henderson's been playing a lot recently. We don't know what his physical condition is, whether he wasn't quite ready to start the game. Big call. And that was a problem first half. But I don't think we've seen, well, maybe a few times, Liverpool is flustered. That's what I would say they were, Rob. First, they were flustered. Big atmosphere. And the team has said that we expected all of this, but they still didn't adjust very well. And Coquelin scores ahead on 41st minute. You're like, wow, 2-0 down.
As well, just on that, Rob, it's like to me, targeted the fullbacks. Did enough do a lot of work down those sides, down Robbo's side, both goals were courtesy of not great play from the fullbacks.
Totally. Yeah. Great point. Great reminder. Absolutely right. Both fullbacks. I mean, Robertson got caught on the first. He gets lets a cross come in for the second one. Trent, as we've seen before, just doesn't anticipate the cross. So, so brilliant going forward, but it wasn't a good day for those two in the first half.
It wasn't, on the
defensive side of things. But just a remarkable kind of reaction and from a home side. You know, we know how small Villarreal are. 2-0 down. To come back after, before half-time to go 2-0 to 2-2 was pretty incredible. That being said,
Half-time.
And we've seen too many times, my friend, Klopp. We saw it firsthand live at the stadium against Man City in that game where they get caught in behind loads of times. They try to play out. Klopp fixes things. Against Arsenal is another one, I think, that he fixed things up. There's been plenty of games where I don't know whether I've seen a coach so consistently change mentality, not necessarily system, but just flow. I mean, he did make a change. A big change is obviously part of it. Luis Diaz came on for Diogo Jota. But talk about a man, Rob, that when his team needs him, invariably steps up at half-time and fixes. He's a fixer. He fixed the problem again.
He's, well, absolutely agree. It was funny because I listened to his interview because I was so keen to hear what he said. And he said, I know you think like half time was tough. He said it was one of the easiest half times I'd ever had. So he said 11 of my players weren't playing. He said it was an easy to fix. We were too rigid in our positions. We didn't have no fluidity. Blah, blah, blah. But you're right. He's a fixer of problems because I'm looking at that game and we all have our, you know, listen, we're all managers when we're sitting on the couch watching the match. I'm going, you've got to get Hendo on. You've got to get Cater off. You've got to get Hendo on. Yeah. You give a bit of drive. You watch that space where they're exploiting, where they're getting in and turning. So I'm thinking Hendo's the thing. He puts Diaz on. I'm thinking, yeah, Diaz, but you really need a Hendo in the middle three. I mean, this kid comes on, mate, and changes the game, by the way. Absolute game changer. One-on-one against Foyt, turns him inside out.
Yeah.
I tell you what else this kid's got about him as well. I know it's a couple of times, Rob. He gets it on that left-hand side. He drives infield. He 1-2s with a midfield player and says, give it me back. He joins in with a centre-forward. He makes others play. He makes others. Thiago started to play when Diaz came on the pitch, by the way. Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah, is that good? It was a brilliant substitution. He kept Cater on, didn't he? Henderson came on for him a little later. But that was a change. And to be fair, and I'm not going to steal his line here. Thierry Henry called it on in the US broadcast the halftime and said, like in this sort of game, when there's high pressure, Luis Diaz has the ability to take the ball forward, to dribble, to run, to take the ball forward, to ease the pressure, to stop that high-ish press that the Liverpool found difficult from Villarreal. And he's absolutely right. Jota's a lot of things. Jota's great at attacking the ball late, scoring goals, you know, when Liverpool are in command. I've got the territory, creating opportunities. But in a game where they struggle to get their game going, give the ball to Diaz. Give it to him. He's going to dribble the ball. Villarreal players have got to all run back. You know, we've been there, Rob. You know, you've got to all run back. And it changes the flow of the game. So that was a great sub, of course. Luis Diaz, what a brilliant signing and impact that he had on the game. But it absolutely changed from the first minute of the second half. And I put it down to three things, Rob. Absolutely more energy and more effort in general. So without the ball particularly. Definitely a better focus on passing the ball. Their passing was like, wow,
sloppy,
like,
wasn't it?
Kate has given away, or Thiago's given the ball away, trying to play up for Van Dijk. It's like, so energy, better concentration, focus on their passing, and Luis Diaz. That was the three things that turned this game around. Maybe Villarreal as well exhausted themselves in that first 45 minutes, Rob, with the world they put in. But Liverpool, of course, turned it all around and they take control. Fabinho's, you know, strike where he looked, he wanted to pass it and there wasn't much on, took the shot. And Diaz again, 67th minute, Rob, to make it two. And then Mane as well later on. So just game of two halves, that old cliche, incredible really. But the calmness of the manager, the expertise of the manager, the experience of the manager, and the spirit and the quality in the team to be able to switch it on when they didn't in the first half is very, very impressive.
I had two sort of similar notes in terms of what changed. And I was kind of sitting there, and you know me with my kind of mind, and I'm thinking, he's a bit like this mad professor, isn't he, Klopp? He's got all these mannerisms and the smiles and the looks and that. I said, he's a bit like Einstein, isn't he? There's a problem. He's got 15 minutes to sort out a problem. It's a tactical problem. And he deals with it, Rob. And the other thing that I think he does and is installed in this group, and I think in some respect, this is where Liverpool are ahead of City. There's a trust in what he'll do that's going to get them over the line. There's like an assurance that if we do those things correctly that he tells us, we'll get the end result. And games have shown that, moments have shown that whether it's changing system, whether it's making changes from the bench, whether it's him pumping a crowd up, Rob, whether it's him having a go at players, he's got this way of whatever he does, it has an effect. It has the desired effect. And you know, where we're saying like with the Pep situation, and it's an interesting one, Rob, because Pep's a genius coach, you know, one-off in the generation. But the longer he doesn't win a Champions League at Man City, there'll be one or two in there might be, you know. Cool, we haven't won the
There's been others.
League,
there's been others, Rob. There's others that have won more than him.
Yeah, and I tell that's, you, one who's still out. Your Toure's agent, after they fell out, said, "Oh, you're going about this guy. He can't win a Champions League with Man City," and so it's proven. And I'm just saying, and I'm not contrasting the two, and the two outstanding men, and listening to Chris Simper, but it seems like there's a buy-in from Klopp because of those things he does, Rob. Game changes, and he seems to get more of those right than I've ever known.
We made an analogy, Rob, about Ancelotti and Pep, right? And we're saying that Klopp's kind of a mix of that. Well, I think he is. I think he's a guy like Ancelotti that players love and want to play for, and he's tactically. I mean, he's not the same as Pep, but he's super smart on that as well. Plus a big game guy. Like he knows how to push the buttons. He knows how to, if his team aren't doing well, he'll find a way to drag them over the line. Now, I know early on he didn't with Liverpool, a couple of finals, the Europa League final, whatever it was. But, you know, it's like my final note on this game at the bottom of Liverpool column was, how'd you beat this guy? How'd you beat him? Mm. Even when they play badly, like he adjusts them, he fixed them. Of course, they often play brilliant. They got all these great goal scorers. But when things aren't going well, I mean, he's done enough getting back on track, Rob, again, with what he's done here before. So all the attributes you want as a manager, tactically smart, you want to be likable, players want to play for you, but also that drive. You know, we see him from the sideline, Rob. He'll have a go at any of his players.
He's ruthless as well, Rob, by the
way. He's ruthless as well.
If you're Mo Salah and you're sitting on the bench, you're sitting on the bench. If you're Mo Salah and he thinks he's got to bring you off at 70, you can pull your face. You're coming off. It does what it does. Yeah. A couple of data and fact for you, my friend, just on this one, because I know you love a bit of data and fact.
Yeah.
Luis Diaz. So I'm looking at him thinking, well, you know, this kid's special. 25 years of age. You know, he's played 18 times for Porto this season, scoring 14 goals, which would, I believe, get him a winner's medal for Porto. So he could win five titles this season, by the way. Just so you know, I want to put it out there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one help that Liverpool got, and don't want to miss to be disrespectful to a fellow pro, but Geronimo Rulli, the goalie. Not great.
Yeah.
Did you know he was a Manchester City player in 2016, signed from Real Sociedad?
You've got too much time on your hands, mate.
$6 million, never played a game. They sailed him back to Sociedad. And he was the goalkeeper, if you remember, played against Man United in the Europa League last season. Scored against De Gea, then saved De Gea's penalty and Villarreal won the Europa League. Boom.
Wow. Wow. Tremendous.
Data and fact. Let's talk about our final because we have a special final. And it was interesting, Rob, because I've heard some people on the radio today. And again, it's not a universal thing. And it's great to have an All England final because it shows the stature and presence of the Premier League. But some are suggesting an English and Spanish final has a different feel to it. And you know, two huge clubs. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a brilliant final. Brilliant. In Paris, that place is going to be packed, isn't it?
Well, I'm just going to start with this. Now, again, we jumped on here at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And I saw many, many retweets or the social media of Mohamed Salah.
Correct.
With the quotes, we have a score to settle.
Yeah.
Given Real Madrid beating Liverpool a few years ago in this competition.
And how they beat them, Rob, wasn't it? You remember the Ramos fouls on he does his shoulder, tears off the game, all
tears.
That.
Yeah. So, I mean, tremendous final, two legends of football clubs. Again, like my mind thinks that I can't see Liverpool losing, Rob. Given the squad, the additions, the new players and Luis Diaz, given what the manager's showing he can do with his team, you know, given like, I mean, the Premier League race is incredible now. They're in the three cup finals possible. League Cup final, FA Cup final. Well, they won the League Cup final, of course. FA Cup final, Champions League final. I mean, wow. I can't see Real Madrid. But I said this about Man City. I felt strongly that Man City are a better team.
At this point, I'm going to hold my judgment. I'm going to see how Premier League plays out. I'm going to see how
Come on.
I'm going to wait. Give me. Just let me get over today. I'm a lot older than you. It took a lot of wind out of me today. I'm going to give it time. Yeah. Listen, we're in for a classic, mate. We're in for an absolute classic. Conway. And you just think about where Real Madrid have come from. Was it got beat by Sheriff in the group stages?
Yeah.
PSG, yeah. Chelsea, Man City. I mean, should have been that.
Come from behind.
If you're in their camp, by the way, you're thinking, this is ours, by the way. It's destined to be ours. And that's what Liverpool and Klopp are going to have to deal with. Okay, my friend, let's move on to a little bit of domestic matters. A couple of big games coming up at the weekend. Liverpool hosts Spurs on Saturday. That's 2:45 Eastern Time on USA. I think there's a thought, Robert, amongst the neutrals that Spurs could be the banana skin that might be awaiting Liverpool in the way they play with the counter-attack, with Liverpool's high line, possibly with the emotions of getting to a Champions League. Listen, if they play the first 45 against Spurs, like they did against Villarreal, against, you know, Son, Kane, and looks like Kulusevski will be back in the team, that could be a bit dangerous, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, this is the toughest game they've got. I mean, they've got Aston Villa, I think, away after which again could be very, very difficult. But this is the game that kind of, in some ways, it suits Antonio Conte's philosophy,
Rob,
Anfield. We know that. And then, of course, they'll break. And that's when they've looked at their best, when we've seen them. Now whether their defensive three in particular, Spurs, can stop Liverpool.
That's the question.
I don't like Davis and Eric Dier as good defenders in this team. I don't like the wing-backs right now. Emerson Royal's playing. Reguilón is out, injured again in this game. So Sessegnon will play on the left-hand side. You know, it Spurs at their best under this manager, I really think they could give Liverpool a fright. But given the defensive players and given, like, again, he can rest and rotate a little
bit. Freshen up a bit, Connie. That's what I was thinking well. You know, Hendo had a good rest. Matip will come back in. Diaz stops. Yep. I mean, Mane's in great form at the moment. You just keep playing him, wouldn't you? Mo. So, yeah, I think you still got a fancy Liverpool, but Tottenham, we'll give them a test, certainly, in the way they play. Man City at home to Newcastle. I think normally we would say, their football will find a way, but it's going to be interesting, this one, Rob. Atmosphere. Somebody said to me, this is a bit of a challenge for the City fans now. The City fans need to do a little bit of what Everton did and Liverpool we've seen. Yeah. They need the fans now to get – they're going to have to push them and help them over the line on this one.
It's a character test, isn't it? And you're right with the fans as well. It's a character test. How can they react from dumping out of the tournament that they're desperate to get? The City fans have seen titles from City before. Mm. You know, how much is the fans and the team going to be up for it to react to that? And it's a bit of a test of the spirit in the team. How down are they? Because we all know that's the one they want, the Champions League. Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to see the kind of reaction. And I would have to think that, you know, there's going to be a strong enough reaction, Rob.
Yeah.
And the squad is big. I'm sure Grealish will play and a few of them, like Gundogan. There's a few other players that can play. So I do think they'll beat Newcastle at home. But it's the Liverpool game, you know, being the toughest one, that's going to be the one I think that could affect the title race. Yeah. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yep, Anfield will be crazy. The Etihad needs to be too, helping those teams through. Just wrapping up a little bit of business, my friend. It was a little bit of a miss of us not to mention Fulham back into the Premier League. Marco Silva's done a brilliant job getting his team in. Mitrovic with an incredible, is it, I think 43 goals, is it?
42 or 43,
Guy Whittingham's record. Fantastic season for them. Great scenes going up as champions. And Bournemouth, a couple of seasons after Eddie Howe left them, Scotty Parker left Fulham, goes to Bournemouth, doing a brilliant job and got them up into the Premier League. So two teams we've seen, we know, love the football, clubs. How are they going to stay in this time around, mate? How are two men who've sort of failed in the Premier League, if you want, in terms of doing a good job there and keeping teams in there, how do they get better this team? How do they stay?
Well, they stay by they need outstanding recruitment, Rob, don't they? The managers are, you know, they're very good managers, but they need great players. They need some great recruitment. It's going to be a similar kind of story. All the teams, pretty much, well, not all of them, but We know how hard it is, Rob. We saw the team Norwich that win with record amount of goals and points last year, whatever they got, Norwich struggle. It's going to be about how they recruit. It really is. Interesting, I read a big long article today, actually, on Tony Khan, the chairman, I think, of Fulham, and basically reiterating he kind of runs the sporting side of the club, Tony Khan. Yeah. He's an analytics guy. They're going down the numbers, the analytical approach, like Brentford.
That's the son, isn't it? That's the son of...
Shah Khan, the main owner.
That's right.
So, interesting. Like, he has a lot of power, Rob, you know, and it's just difficult to, like, a guy that's... How can I say? He doesn't really know the game like a football professional, yet his experience working in sporting clubs... His experience, and he has a stats business. I think that's what his business is analytics. And he likes his recruitment kind of scouting network. He loves working with Marco Silva. He feels that with him and his scouting crew, with input from Silva, that they can do the business to stay in the league. He doesn't like the yo-yo thing. But that's a big, big call. And for Bournemouth, second season back, Scotty Parker, shock, saw his tears in his eyes. He's a very emotional guy. I played with him at Charlton for a season at the end of my career. Brilliant, brilliant bloke. He'll be emotional, and they'll both have it on Rob to stay in the division. We know that. You look at the teams, Philip Billing, you know, there's a lot of players that were there before.
They were there, weren't they?
Same with Fulham. I guess the difference, and final point, Rob, on Fulham is Mitrovic. He didn't play, Scott Parker didn't play him before.
Yeah.
And he's going to play every game. It's whether he can get 15 plus goals that might give them a chance. But, I mean, congratulations. It's great to see the scenes of promotion. Brings back some nice memories from a long time ago for me. But we all know that the Premier League's jump up, and it's going to be hard for these two to stay in the league without really good recruitment.
Two little notes, my friend, that I think, again, just wanted to touch on them. One you've just reminded me. David Brooks, the Bournemouth midfield player, who had just been told he's cancer-free as well. Great news for him. Obviously, with the promotion as well, really good news for a player we saw in the Premier League.
Good talent to play.
Some really good things, wasn't he? And had a difficult time, but great news for him. And the other thing, Rob, I just wanted to mention, at the end of Jurgen Klopp, on one of the biggest nights, he talked about feeling like the first Champions League. He said also congratulations to Nat Phillips, who's at Bournemouth. He was part of Liverpool squad to get him there. And you know, those little things that you go, that's what makes him special. I mean, does he have to mention it? Is it important in the big night for Liverpool? That's the difference with Jurgen Klopp and all. Those little bits of detail, Rob, I think other players see and know and understand, go, that's why you run to a brick wall for him. So really nice touch from Jurgen Klopp. Great to see Bournemouth and Fulham back in the Premier League. And we'll see how they do in the summer, how the recruitment looks and how they can go. Listen, mate, too much for my old ticker this weekend. It's incredible drama of football.
Crazy.
Liverpool make it to Paris. They're going to play Real Madrid in this year's Champions League final. For City, it's another year of what could have been. Congratulations to both Fulham and Bournemouth. We'll see you in the Premier League next season. We're going to be back Sunday. That's May the 8th. That's Mother's Day. And that's after a visit. We go down to the Kentucky Derby when we must going to try a few hats. We're definitely going to try a few juleps, my friend. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty. Together with two Robbie. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.